May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 285. 285. Oh, for a heart to seek my God, encouraged by his gracious word, to view my Saviour all complete, and lie submissive at his feet. Hymn 285.
Thank you. Let's turn to the Word of God this evening and the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. And we'll read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 23, and we'll begin our reading in verse 12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth unto the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counsellor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. And there we will leave the reading of God's word this evening, and may he help and teach each one of us now to truly pray. Most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, we come now once more and once less into thy presence. Lord, we come now and we bow before thee in prayer. Thou knowest, Lord, whether we are really in prayer. Thou knowest, Lord, where our hearts are. For we can only look upon one another. But thine all-seeing eye, nothing is hid from thee. And under that gaze, Lord, we gather tonight. We gather in that way, knowing that despite our best attempts to make ourselves appear what we are not, Lord, we are sinners in thy sight. And yet we can only come unto thee, our Heavenly Father, through thy dear Son. Lord, we do not come clothed in our filthy rags and cannot come unto thee in that way. But we come pleading the merits of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We come through that one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Lord, where would we be without that one? We thank thee, Lord, that tonight we have read together the solemn and yet blessed sacrifice at Calvary. What a mystery that thou wouldest have mercy upon any. What a mystery free and sovereign grace is. But what a blessed truth that we can look to. And may each and every one hope and trust in Christ. As we have been reminded, as we have been reading, there were those who laughed. There were those who mocked. May we not do so in our wrong attitude as we gather together tonight. We trust there will be none doing so outwardly. But what about within? Lord, show us how solemn it is to assemble together in that mock way. Help us to rest in truth. Help us to see no man save Jesus only. And that this evening one and another may be drawn to a Christ that is made precious to them. May there be the cry, my hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. May there be those convicted sinners that feel it in thy sight tonight. But may there be those sinners set free tonight. And may there also be those sinners that have been set free, be strengthened by thy work at Calvary, dear Lord Jesus, which can never be undone. We thank thee for the certainty of thy word. When we live in a very uncertain world, there is a foundation for thy people to build upon and enable them to do so. May they each prove that on Christ the solid rock they stand, and that all other ground is sinking sand. So as we gather for worship and gather to remember thy sufferings, dear Lord Jesus, tonight, help us and be with us through it, so that we may truly value our communal worship together. Lord, may we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is clearly ordered in thy word. And Lord, may there be that true value in our communion and fellowship one with another. The unspeakable glory and truth that thy people are one people. May we know it today as we worship together. May this people be a people that are truly bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. May this be a people that are desiring to see in themselves and one another that growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May this be a people that see the fruit of the Spirit exhibited in all parts of their lives. And may we cry with the hymn writer, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and a heavenly frame and a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb." Lord, lead us onwards, we pray. We pray for the church and congregation here that worship. Lord, do be with the children and young people that they are favoured to have in their midst. Lord, remember them in their young years and as they go through varying stages of education and have differing needs as they grow. We pray that they may be kept diligent in all that they do, try their hardest in all matters, that thou wilt cause them to make the best use of the gifts that thou hast given to them, as varied as they may be, that they may have those right doors opened for them in, you know, maybe going from school or home education to college or to university or to employment. May they see thy hand going before them. We pray that thou wilt provide for them those right partners, those right boyfriends and girlfriends that may become husbands and wives in thine appointed time, that they will truly see in this thy hand. Lord, ever deliver them from seeking what the world and their friends and work colleagues may tell them to look for on the outward things. May they be kept looking upon those inward beauties. May they truly desire those God-fearing partners for their lives. And may they seek to be found, drawing nearer to thee as they grow older. Lord, we pray that thou wilt above all work in their hearts while they are young, that they will remember their Creator in the days of their youth, that the fear of the Lord will be put within their hearts, and that they may be truly, while they are young, praying people. And do be with the church and congregation as they seek to support and help the young ones. And Lord, may there be much prayer and concern for them, for they are the future of our churches. We pray for those in the middle of life, in employment, in family life, or whatever the situation may be. Lord, do be with them all. And as those periods of life can be extremely busy and we can get so overcome with so many matters, Lord, give us much grace to seek first the kingdom of God and to prove that all other things will be added unto us according to thy will. But Lord, those that are blessed with children, do give them grace to bring them up in that right way. Lord, those that are not favoured in that way, Lord, may they be given those spiritual children to pray over and to watch over and to know that, Lord, thou hast a purpose for them all. We pray for those that are unmarried and may long to be so. Lord, do help them in these things as the years roll by. And Lord, we pray that whatever our lot, whatever our situation is, and how hard these things are to say sometimes, that we may be content. Lord, we pray for those that are older and maybe at retirement or facing retirement, or those that know that the majority of their life is behind them, those that begin to feel the weakness in body and mind, Lord, those that are brought very low, Lord. We pray once again for our friend David Parrish. Lord, do be with him in his weakness and great need. Oh, Lord, visit him, we pray. Truly visit him. Show him thyself. Give him that sweet peace that passeth all understanding, so that there may be a clear witness that thou hast worked in his heart and life. And Lord, we pray for any others, Lord, here tonight, where there is that unknown about their spiritual state. Lord, cause them to tremble if they are ready to stand before thy face. And Lord, where there is no profession, may there be that profession, if they believe in thee, as according to thy word. And may there be that growth, Lord, in the church, in this place. Lord, this pool has been shut for a season now, and we pray that it may not be long before it is opened again. There may be one and another truly constrained to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Lord, may they not put off that which they should do. Lord, and may they be fearful, lest thou wilt punish them for their disobedience. We pray for the deacons here. Help them in all their needs. The many, many responsibilities that they have upon them, Lord, do bless them in it. Lord, do raise up others at the appointed time to help them in the diaconate. And may much wisdom and grace be granted in these matters. Do supply the pulpit here with a living, faithful ministry. May there be those that come and preach the word to them here. And we plead that that word preached may come with power by thy Spirit. We pray for this village and the surrounding area, that one and another may come and join with them to worship here. And that each of the people here in their daily lives may be that right witness, may be able to encourage others of their neighbours or work colleagues or school friends or whoever they may meet or work with. Lord, we pray that there may be that encouragement to come and seek thy face in this place of worship. May there yet be a building up in our day. May there be that welcoming of whoever may come through these doors. And to give the people here that grace to accept one another as they come. And Lord, if we truly pray for that real increase, it will be characters that will come in. Lord, we pray that we may see it, even in our day. Lord, we do not deserve it. We truly are ripe for thy judgment. And Lord, we have become a wicked and perverse nation in so many ways that has strayed from thy word. May we yet be given those in Parliament that stand right and stand fast to thy truth. Lord, we know not how thou art working behind the scenes, but may there be that seen evidently that there are those in power that honour thy name. Lord, we are living in a time of real change in the global situation too. The election has taken place in the United States of America, and we do not know how matters will unfold in coming weeks and months. Lord, we are thankful that if nothing else, there is at least an outward profession in one and another that they fear thy name and a desire to serve thee rightly. Lord, we pray that it may be clearly seen, and may be an example to other nations in the developed West, that the best way is thy way. Lord, we know nothing is too hard for thee. And as we look to the global situation and see such warfare and sorrow and hardship in so many ways, O Lord, we are reminded that kingdoms come and kingdoms fall, and there will be troubles and difficulties till the end of time. Lord, may that give us that continued and increased focus on that eternal heavenly rest in heaven above. And so, Lord, as we come together tonight, we would likewise pray for all other congregations that worship thee today, whether it be in this country, whether it be in any country in this earth. Lord, wherever thy people meet, we have that promise that thou wilt be with them, and do add to thy church greatly today, thy one true church. Be with our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. O Lord, may they know what it is today, that underneath are those everlasting arms, and to be given extraordinary peace in the fierce of terrible things. Lord, we cannot understand it. We cannot understand it when we live in true peace in this nation in so many ways. But Lord, we pray for them. But now as we turn to thy word, Lord. We are reminded as we read through the majority of thy word, the need of a saviour throughout it. For we are sinners in need of thy mercy. Help us each to plead for that mercy. Help us each to have that desire to be nearer thee, to be more conformed to the image of thy dear Son, carrying on in that narrow way that leads to life eternal. And may each and every one, child or adult, be found at thy right hand, be found in glory at last, to be delivered from the wrath to come. So forgive all that we have asked amiss, that which we have forgotten to pray for, may have been prayed for by one another. And now as we stand and seek to open thy word to the people, oh, give us every word to speak, and give those people before us those ears to hear what thou wilt have them to hear tonight. May it do them good. May it truly touch them. May it be a day that in thy goodness they do not forget for their souls. So bless us together now, we beg. And we ask all in and through the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. Disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive I pour out my song, and stretch forth my hands unto God. Hymn 293.
need the Lord to help us each here this evening as we turn to his word together. Let us turn to the chapter that we read in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, but I'll read again from verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed or blasphemed him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Really, the words in the latter part of this verse 42, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." In these verses before us this evening, there is hope for every living sinner. We read, for those that were not here this morning, and preached from that solemn account of that day of harvest in Matthew 13, where the tares will be separated from the good seed and they will be cast into a furnace of fire. The tares being the wicked ones, the tares being those that have not repented of their sin. There will be that wailing and gnashing of teeth. But as I have just said, none of us at 7:10 on the 1st of December in 2024 are without hope. For Christ has died. Christ has paid the price for all who come unto him in true repentance and faith. Those of you here who may be troubled at your eternal standing have hope in these verses. Well, we read in one of our hymns, don't we? "The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And this is where that dying thief was brought to." So firstly this evening, we would like to look at the distinctions between those two men as they hung either side of Jesus, and then to consider what it is to truly repent of our sins. Then to look at the glory of the assurance of salvation issuing from the lips of Jesus, and to see his free and sovereign grace in action. So tonight, we have this image before us. Jesus in the middle and those two malefactors, one on either side. And there they hung, knowing that their lives were slowly drawing to an end. But something changed. We read in Matthew's account in Matthew 27, verse 44, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." So it would imply that there was a point where both of those men were the same and in the same position. But something changed. And dear friends, that is what you and I need. Something to change. It is the new birth. It is that work of regeneration where we are turned from death unto life. For we are all dead in trespasses and sins. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, by birth, by upbringing, or by any other measure. We are all lost and without hope. But that time comes in the life of all of the Lord's people where they are born again. Jesus, as recorded in John's Gospel, in speaking to Nicodemus, said of the necessity of this, "Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And why is that? Because without that new birth, without that new heart, that new will, those new desires, there will be no desire to seek after Jesus. There will be no conviction of sin. You'll just tick along contentedly and moderately happily in your life until your death. And it will be too late. But, as Jesus said, we must be born again. And you may say to me tonight, "Well, how do I know if I have been born again? What is a sign that I have been born again?" Well, Jesus said, didn't he? "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And what does that mean? That means that it is not so much the power or the impact that we will know, but it will be the effect of it that we will know. We don't look at the wind, do we, and see the wind coming. We see the effect of the wind when it is here. Have you seen the effect of that new birth in your life? Changed the heart, renewed the will, turned the feet to Zion's hill. That dying thief, the one that cried out, "Lord, remember me," knew it. He knew it. And the other one didn't. We do not have time to even begin to look and consider the precious truth that God has a people whom he will have mercy upon. And how glorious that is for us to ponder. But dear friends, we have all been brought up, or we are all here at this time, I should say, to listen to the gospel. To hear the way of salvation. To be convicted through the preached word. To be led to Christ through the preached word. But I can't change you. I can't make you be born again. I can't convert you. All I can do is faithfully preach the word and plead that Almighty God will do it. So firstly, as I have said, we must be born again. Something will distinguish us from another person. And be clear. This dying thief did nothing to earn it. Nothing to merit it. And neither will you and can you. Something, someone, Almighty God, changed this person. Has he changed you? But what do we see, secondly, in the change? We see true repentance. We see a man that says, we receive the due reward of our deeds. And I do believe in measure, every one of the Lord's people will know that. We'll have an understanding, as I quoted this morning in that hymn, should sudden vengeance seize our breath, we must pronounce thee just in death. And if our soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. Each and every one of us, at that great day of judgment, will receive the due reward of our deeds. And I believe the Lord's people will know that. They will know that if they are sent, if they are the tares, if they are burnt up eternally, they deserve it. That's what they deserve. And that's a clear sign that the Lord has worked in you. If there is a recognition of sin. And I thought of two characters really, which we'll probably refer to numerous times this evening. David and the account of the prodigal son, that parable. David knew what it was to recognise that he was a sinner. David had done that which was wrong. He had gone into Bathsheba. He had killed her husband. He had done much that was wrong. And he carried on in a way it would appear, and not truly understanding or repenting of his sin. Until Nathan the prophet came to him. Until the Lord sent something to him to show to David. Thou art the man. And in measure that will be the case with every one of you tonight. If you are true, brought to true repentance, you will have something that says to you, thou art the man. Thou art the woman. Thou art the one that has no right to stand before a holy God clothed in your rags. You need the precious blood of Christ. And you will be brought to that recognition of sin where David had to say, I have sinned. Who against? Against the Lord. And we may sin against one and another, and it is right we should seek forgiveness from one another where we do wrong. But what we really need to know is this. I have sinned against the Lord. It's the same thought we see with the prodigal son, isn't it? That man there, he knew what it was in Luke chapter 15. That man knew what it was in that parable to have done wrong. I will arise and go to my father, Luke 15:18, and I will say unto him what? Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Have you been brought to that point, dear sinner? Have you been brought to that point? Where you recognise that you have sinned. We must do. We must be brought to that place. Why? Because if we don't know we are sinners, why do we need a saviour? We don't. We don't need Christ if we haven't been told we have sinned and come short of his glory. The dying thief knew that he had done wrong. David knew that he had done wrong. In the parable of the prodigal son, he knew that he had done wrong. and in the case of each and every one of the Lord's people in varying degrees, they will know that they have sinned. But it is not only a recognition of sin that will be seen with true repentance. There will be an acceptance of our responsibility, an acceptance that it is us that has done it. Think of the account of Aaron when he had done that which was wrong, and he had built that golden calf when Moses had gone up to the mount. And what did Aaron try to do? He tried to shift the blame, didn't he, onto the people, and said, basically, they made me do it. Dear friends, true repentance, there'll be no blaming of circumstances. There'll be no blaming of upbringing or any other thing. With true God-given repentance, there will be that acceptance. David was brought there in that great psalm, penitential psalm, Psalm 51. He was brought to that point of acceptance that it was him that had done it. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My transgressions. The acceptance of his responsibility, and my sin is ever before me. It was the same, wasn't it, with the prodigal son. He knew it was him that had done wrong. He didn't blame the famine. I know it's only a parable, but he didn't blame the famine and his circumstances. No, he knew that he had done wrong. Dear sinner, have you been brought to that place yet? It's me. I've done it. But whenever the Holy Spirit works in the lives of his people, yes, there will be conviction of sin, but he will never leave you there. He didn't leave the dying thief, did he? At that place where he said, we receive the due reward of our deeds, and leave him there. And neither will he leave you there. For what do we see with this dying thief? He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He looked to the way of salvation. He looked to the only one that could help him. What a blessed truth tonight for you that has come under the conviction of sin and know that you deserve punishment for it. All this dear man did was turn to Jesus. But that's not easy, because you can't do that in and of yourselves. What do we need? The precious gift of faith. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But that dying thief was given faith to look to Jesus. This other thief, he didn't. Why? Because he hadn't been given belief that this man could save him from his sins. Have you been given that faith, dear sinner, to look to him, the friend of sinners, that one who laid down his life for his friends? You know, we do not read He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus then said unto him, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done the other? Do you act in this way? Do you act in the other way? No. This dying thief, who had done nothing and could do nothing to merit his Saviour's love, simply and purely trusted in him. It's gloriously simple, this account. And it's gloriously true. Dear sinner, it's not too late for any. You say, well, my sins are too great. How dare you say that? How dare you say that tonight? What, your sins are greater than our infinite God? Your sins are greater than his immense suffering could pay for? Dear friends, no. No. There is none too great for our Saviour. Look and live. Look and live, dear sinner. That's what the thief did. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, the simplicity of it, it strikes me time and time again. And we can, if we're not careful, so overcomplicate the gospel. The gospel is good news indeed to sinners in distress. And if you are a sinner in distress tonight, there is good news for you. In the words of our Saviour, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, to that dear man. But in these verses, dear friends, we see, don't we, the assurance of salvation. It's not too late for any. And, dear friends, does this give you comfort and hope? It did to David, didn't it, as he penned so many psalms. He knew, and that dear man knew, and those sins troubled him and continually troubled him, but it further in his eyes magnified God's mercy to him. I think of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Why? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Dear friends, David could rest in this. The assurance of salvation, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and all thy diseases. That's how he could bless the Lord. Can you bless the Lord tonight for this? This one who laid down his life for unworthy sinners. Same with that account of the prodigal son, wasn't it? As he journeyed home to his father. You know, the glorious reception that son was given. He wasn't given a telling off for everything he had done wrong. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, if that dying thief had have lived, what would that dying thief have done? He would have been praising the Lord for his goodness. And living in that glorious truth that there will be redemption. There will be heaven above. There will be peace on earth. And you know, dear sinner, tonight, if you know, have known what it is to rest in the precious blood of Christ, and you say, I do not know the peace anymore. Where is it gone? Well, dear friends, maybe we've forgotten, maybe I've forgotten the truth of Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, as the dying thief was as he turned to Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil will do all he can in our lives to rob us of that peace, to trouble us by allowing tares, God will allow those tares to grow up beside us and amongst us, and fear it's going to choke us. But dear friends, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of justification can never be undone. And as Paul later wrote, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because Jesus has spoken those words. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Dear sinner, there was nothing left for the dying thief to do. And there's nothing left for you to do. In fact, there is nothing you could ever do. The Lord does it all. He has fixed our first and our second birth. And he will bring his people. He is the author and finisher of our salvation. And really, for all those that are brought to trust in him, that today shalt thou be with me in paradise is an eternal today. From the moment they first believe, it cannot be changed. But what grace and mercy we see in these verses. You know, it so struck me in pondering these verses. It is nothing other than free and sovereign grace clearly displayed here. He couldn't do anything, had no ability. Jesus did it all. Nothing left for the sinner to accomplish. Christ, as he agonized there, as his Father's face was turned away from him, darkness fell upon the earth. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was done. It was finished. The dying thief had no hope, but in divine intervention and free and sovereign grace. But praise the Lord, we have this record. None are too far gone. But this 43rd verse was on my mind yesterday, and as we'll have time for a few moments to consider it. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We spoke much on the solemnity of hell this morning, and we have great and deep things recorded in the Word of God for our instruction regarding that. But dear friends, what about paradise? What about heaven above? This again is deep. This again is something that we can never truly fathom. The Apostle Paul indeed struggled with these thoughts as he had that great vision. If I can think of the verses that I am thinking of, in 2 Corinthians 12, I knew a man in Christ, speaking of himself, about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man. And he goes on, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He saw great and glorious things in that vision, and he could not even speak of them. Unspeakable things that he saw. And that is what paradise will be like, dear friends. We cannot understand it. We cannot understand it. And why can't we understand it? Because we are surrounded by sin. Everything we look at is fallen. And we cannot begin to imagine a world, a heaven of perfection. It's beyond us to even begin to imagine. So I really can't help you about what paradise is like. You know, we read of pearly gates and streets paved with gold, and that was just another way of trying to describe what it may possibly be like. But dear friends, there are certain things we do know. We mentioned this morning, I believe, that there, you know, it'll be that place where there won't be any more tears or sorrow or suffering or pain. But we do know that it will be a place where we will eternally be with our Saviour. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He'll be with his people in a fullness that we cannot begin to understand. There are those that have entered into a little of the preciousness of Christ. It's just a smidge of what it will be like. Words cannot describe it. But dear friends, all those that are by God's free and sovereign grace are brought from nature's darkness into his glorious light, are brought to turn and believe in Christ, will be there. And it may be sooner than we think. But it's something that we must ponder, and we should ponder. And it is something, when we are in our right mind, that we should be longing for, and should be longing for others to be taken to. My dear old grandfather, he is now 102 years old in the Bethesda home at Brighton. He is drawing very near his end. He may be alive now, he may not. He's not expected to live many more hours or days. And you know, he's laid on his bed and not moved for probably 6 years. And every time I visit him, I long for him to be taken. And yet he lingers on, and he lingers on, and he lingers on. And yet it won't be long, dear friends. He will see his Saviour face to face. He'll be set free from the pain and the suffering that he is currently in. He'll be delivered from everything that this world can trouble him with. It's a glorious prospect. A glorious prospect. Oh, and may it be set before our eyes continually, as it was in the eyes of that dying thief as he hung upon that cross. You know how many more hours that man hung next to Jesus, we do not really know, or haven't really considered it. But I strongly believe what a difference there would have been inwardly between those two thieves. Outwardly, there may not have been any difference evident. Outwardly, they may have looked the same. But inwardly, in that man that was saved, he would have known what it was. Even in his pain, even in his suffering and deep agony, as his life was taken from him, he knew that next to him was his Saviour. And he knew that today he would be with him in paradise. And so as our lives journey on, and you and I may go back to work tomorrow or go back to our daily duties and everything just ticks along, what do we know of these things? Do we have this dying thief's religion? The conviction of sin, the knowledge that we have done wrong, the simple faith and dependence upon the sacrifice of another, even Christ. Are we ashamed of him? Do we love him? Do we long to be with him? So let us close this evening before we gather around the Lord's table and just repeat this simple account of a sinner saved by grace. The other answered, the malefactor that had blasphemed Christ, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." 3 words, "Lord, remember me." And what was Jesus' reply? Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." May it be so for every one of us. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Tim Parrish. Mr. Brian Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. On Friday evening, the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach for us. Let us close with hymn number 986. 986. "Ho, poor, distressed, thirsty soul, the fountain is just by, whose waters run both full and free. Come, drink, and never die." Hymn 986.
holy and gracious God, we thank thee for thy word, that there is hope. There is hope for the neediest of sinners. Oh, and for those thirsty sinners tonight, may they prove the truth of those words that we have just been singing of. O ye who long to feel and see your interest in his blood, this thing is proved beyond a doubt, because you thirst for God. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, if there are thirsty ones and have been thirsty ones tonight. But may they have drunk, may they have drunk fully from the truth of thy word, and go on their way satisfied. So be with that which has been spoken today, Lord, and that which has been wrong in our worship, do truly forgive. But that which has been of thee, do truly seal by thy Spirit, and may thy word remain and abide with us. Those that now leave, take them to their homes in peace and safety. Those that gather round thy table, Lord, do bless us there. Those that watch on, Lord, we pray that they may benefit from doing so. And that today we may say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.